replies to the question, how foolish. That, I think, is because the people who were asking were cynical about the whole theme of life after death. They didn't believe it, and so they asked a trick question to try to discredit Paul's authority. Their motives for asking the question was wrong. But actually, the question they asked is a very important one. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? As Christians, we are promised that we will spend eternity in heaven. Eternal life is one for me, as we sang in the last song. And therefore, it's very sensible for us to think about it and to ponder what it will actually involve. In the first part of 1 Corinthians 15 that I didn't read, Paul teaches about life after death as being our sure Christian hope. It's based on the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus' resurrection is described as the first fruits of our resurrection. In other words, because he rose, we in our time will be raised from death too. For us as God's people, death is not the end. It's not a full stop. It's not the terminus of our story. It's like a door that will open up when our time to die comes. We will pass through it. For now, of course, the door of death seems to be closed. And that's one reason why, as we look forward to it, it can sometimes seem daunting or worrying. It can seem like a step into a great unknown, although of course we're assured that Jesus has gone there to prepare a place for us. There are many Bible verses that give us complete assurance about the future that God has for us. But having said that, there is much that we cannot understand about it at the moment. A little bit earlier in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote these words: "Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am fully known." The Bible gives us glimpses about our future, rather like peeping through a crack in the door. The Bible doesn't give us all the detailed answers that we might like to know, but it certainly does give us enough to whet our appetite for what God has in store for us in the future. The promises in the Bible enable us to look forward to the future without fear and without anxiety. Life in heaven is at the moment beyond our present experience. We have eternal life already, the Bible teaches us, in Christ, but the eternal life that we look forward to in heaven will have extra dimensions that at the moment are beyond our experience. Just think for a moment. If you're trying to explain to someone who'd been blind from birth what scenery was like, or what a beautiful painting was like, how would you try to describe it to someone who had always been blind and had never seen anything? Or perhaps someone who had been deaf from birth, how would you try to explain what music is like, what singing is like, what the songs of birds are like? It would be very difficult. I don't know how you do it. You'd have to try to explain by some sort of analogy. You'd have to try to link it to their experience as it is and then say, but it's much greater than that. And that actually is what Paul does in the passage that I've read. We have had a taste of eternal life, but only the slightest taste. And so to explain what life in heaven will be like, Paul does it by giving some analogies or illustrations. And in our passage today, there were three illustrations to help us understand what life after death will be like. These three illustrations help give us an insight into what God has prepared for us. So our first picture comes in verses 37 and 38. Paul writes this: "When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body." The first illustration that Paul gives about life after death is of a seed that becomes a plant. He says that death is like planting a seed in the ground so that it will become a plant. This morning I'm looking out at about 20 seeds. One day, each of us will die, we will be planted in the ground, and in Paul's illustration, we will become a plant. Our present bodies will be left in the cemetery or where our ashes are scattered, but our seed will change into a plant. These 20 seeds here will become 20 different plants. And as Paul says, perhaps a flower, perhaps a stalk of wheat. The first illustration is that death is like a seed becoming a plant. And that illustration reminds us three things about life after death. The first thing is that the purpose of the seed is to become a plant. The purpose of this life is to become a plant in the life that is to come. You don't buy, I don't do much gardening, my wife does it all, but you don't buy a packet of seeds and then put it on the mantelpiece and admire it and say, what a beautiful packet of seeds. And that isn't what you do with a packet of seeds, is it? No, the whole purpose of a packet of seeds is to plant it so that it can be developed into a plant. The purpose of a mica seed is to develop into a mica plant. The purpose of a tom seed is to develop into a tom plant. And that will happen when we die. The second thing about the illustration that Paul gives is that the nature of the seed will remain. There is much, obviously, about life after death that will be completely different to the existence of the life that we have now. But there will also be continuity as well. The mica seed becomes a mica plant. The mica-ness is still there. And there will be things, there will be a continuity between the life we have now and the life we will enjoy in the future. Death will not be a complete and total change from our present existence. There'll be much that's different, but there will be a continuity as well. In heaven, when I see a gene plant, I will know it developed from a gene seed. Each of us, as seeds, will produce our own plants, which will be recognizable from what we were before. In heaven, we will recognize our fellow believers, even though we will be in bodies that are much more glorious than the ones we have now. A mica seed may not be very special, but a mica plant in heaven will be absolutely beautiful. So, Paul teaches about the seed becoming a plant. The purpose of a seed is to become a plant. There will be continuity. Some of the nature of the seed remains in the plant that develops. And the third point about it is that this life is a preparation for the next. We need, if you are a gardener, you need to look after the seed, because if you don't, it can affect the way the plant subsequently develops. We need to look after our seeds our bodies, because that could affect, that may affect the way the plant, the seed develops into a plant. Scripture speaks of the rewards that we receive for faithful service and obedience. A healthy seed becomes a healthy plant. And so this life is a preparation for the next. This life prepares and shapes our souls for the next life. Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The purpose of the seed that we are now is to become a glorious plant. And we prepare our seed by staying in close relationship with the Lord, by seeking to serve him and follow his will. So the first illustration that Paul gives is the illustration of a seed becoming a plant. The second illustration comes in the verses that follow. He says in verse 39, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. Here, Paul refers to different kinds of bodies, bodies of animals, birds, and fish. And his point is that the body that creatures are given depends on the environment, the situation in which they're going to live. The bodies that we have would be no use at all if we were birds. We would need wings, we'd need feathers instead of the smooth skin that we have. The body that a bird has would be no use if it had to live in the sea. It would need gills with which to breathe. And that's Paul's point. The bodies that we have are designed for the life that we have now. But our present bodies will not be suitable for the new environment of heaven. In verse 50, Paul says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You and I will need new bodies for the environment where we will spend eternity. Our resurrection bodies, the plants that we will become, will be different from our present bodies, our seeds, in other words. Paul reminds us in verse 40 that the splendor of different bodies is different. Both bodies, the ones we have now and the ones we will have in future, both bodies are splendid because both are created by God. Psalm 139 says this, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our present bodies are wonderful, they're magnificent. But, as we know, they wear out. Our resurrection bodies will be far more wonderful and they won't wear out. Verse 49 says this, we will bear the likeness of the man from heaven, that is Jesus. And at the second coming, we will receive our new bodies designed specifically and wonderfully for the life that we will live in heaven. Our new bodies will be more glorious than the ones we have now, but they will be very different in many ways because of the new life that we will be living. Just look at how Paul describes it. He says that we are sown, our seeds are sown in weakness, but raised in power. Our present bodies are wonderful, but they do have weaknesses, as we know only too well. Even when we were younger, we had limitations in terms of what we could do, things that our bodies would not let us do. We lack stamina, we get tired, we didn't have the skill to do everything we wanted. Our bodies are subject to disease and illness, and as we know, all the more so as we get older. But we were sown in weakness, but we will be raised in power. When we have our new bodies, our plants, we will no longer be held back by the sort of limitations that we know in this life. The plants that we will become will be able to do absolutely everything that we need them to do in our new environment in heaven. There's a fascinating verse in the book of Isaiah which says this: those who hope in the Lord will be raised in power. That ties with what Paul's saying in Corinthians. We will run and not grow weary. In other words, our bodies will not be subject to the tiredness and limitations that we have now. But then Isaiah goes on to say, we will soar on wings like eagles. We will soar on wings like eagles. Is that a literal statement? Does that literally mean that we're going to be able to fly? I honestly don't know, but what I do know is that we will have power in heaven to do things that we can't even imagine or dream of right now. It will be an existence with new dimensions that we will be able to explore and that we will be able to participate in. Paul also says in verse 43 about our present bodies, comparing them with our future bodies, we are sown in dishonor, but raised in power, raised in glory. Sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Not only are our present bodies weak, but they are infected with what Paul calls dishonor. We're subject to sin. Temptation has its constant pull on us. We live with pride and greed and selfishness and many other dishonorable things. But, says Paul, we will be raised in glory. Evil and temptation, pain and suffering, and all the very many forms that we experience them, all of those things will be banished and gone forever. We will experience perfection, love and peace in the presence of the Lord. So we will have a different kind of body, perfectly suited for the new life that we will be living in heaven. So two illustrations so far: a seed becoming a plant, and a new kind of body perfectly fitted for the new life that we shall live in heaven. And then Paul's third and final illustration is a very simple and homely one. It's an illustration of dressing up and undressing, or changing clothes. Behold, says Paul in verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Paul describes the process of death as being like changing clothes, undressing and then dressing. When we get ready for bed, we take off our present clothes and we put on our nightwear, undressing and dressing. When I play table tennis tomorrow night, I should take off my normal clothes and I'll put on my sporting gear. When we die, we are undressed from our present bodies, our seeds, and when Christ returns, we shall be dressed up again in our new bodies, which Paul calls our plants. Each one of us is made of two parts, body and soul. The soul is the real us, the real you, the real me, and it lives forever. It's immortal. It will never cease to exist. But when we die, our soul and our body are separated from each other. We undress from our bodies. The process of undressing, the process of dying, as we know, can be very difficult for many. It can involve a protracted illness, weakness, pain. But our bodies are undressed. Our bodies are buried or cremated. They go into the ground, and in the words that Paul uses later, our bodies sleep. When we die, our souls go straight into the presence of the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Our souls go directly into the presence of Jesus. But when eventually he returns at his second coming, that is when our souls will be dressed up again in our new resurrection bodies. These bodies, our seeds, which have been asleep, will then be changed into plants. We will be dressed up in our brand new resurrection bodies. And how does Paul describe our new resurrection bodies? Well, he says that perishable will be clothed in imperishable. Our present bodies have got are splendid. They're created by God, as we've already thought, but they are perishable, and eventually they stop working. Our bodies wear out. Our eyesight weakens, our hearing gets poor, our joints stiffen, our memories fail, our bones get brittle. We may be subject to dementia, obviously, we could go on. But we will be undressed when we die, and all those signs of weakness will be things of the past. Our souls will leave behind the bodies that we now have. And when Jesus returns, we will be dressed up in imperishable new bodies. Our perfect new bodies will be always in the peak of condition forever. No glasses, no hearing aids, no walking sticks, no forgetting things, no pills or medicines. Look forward to being dressed up in your imperishable body. And finally, Paul says that mortal will be clothed with immortality. Death is defeated. It's no longer a brick wall. It's lost its sting. Jesus has won the victory and made death into an open door for all who believe in him. The frailty and mortality that we know now is undressed, and we will be dressed up again in the power of immortality. Yes, in Christ we do have eternal life already, but we can look forward to completely new and exciting dimensions of what full eternal life will mean. It will mean a renewed quality of life that's outside the realms of time. 1,000 years as one day. There'll be no death, no decay, no evil, no growing old. We will be clothed with immortality. Our journey's end is to the perfection of heaven, forever in the presence of God himself. But Paul concludes in verse 58 these words. Yes, of course, we should all be looking forward eagerly to our sure and certain hope of heaven. But, he says, in the meantime, God has important purposes for each one of us. Therefore, my dear brothers, he says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand firm in our faith. Give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because that prepares these seeds that we have now to become a beautiful, glorious plant in future. Acts of kindness, as Tom reminded us earlier in the service. Supporting others, giving help to others, giving encouragement, simple friendship, praying for others, kind, caring words, seeking to point others to the love of Christ. All of these things that we can do are never wasted. Simple acts of service. We may not be able to do now what we could do perhaps years ago, but there's still plenty that each one of us can do. And Paul encourages us to stand firm and to know that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. What we do now prepares our seed so that it will become a great and glorious plant. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great purposes that you have for each one of us. Because Christ died and he rose, we can look forward to a resurrection of our own. We will be raised. We will be given new bodies. We will be given a new sphere of life. we will do wonderful things that at the moment we can't ask or imagine. Thank you, Lord, for the great things that you have prepared for us. But we pray, Lord, in the meantime, you will help us to be good servants of yours, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.